over in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Boy, we keep going back there, don't we, when we're doing this study. But all of this ties together. It's all kind of runs together, doesn't it, when you begin to study these things and find out what the Lord Jesus is saying to us about winning souls. And that's what we're talking about again. We're still doing our soul winning 101. This is part number 6, if you will. And this is what I want you to ask yourself this question tonight, if I can get it. Why should we carry this message? Why should we carry this message? I mean, what is the point in me and you carrying the message about folks being saved? Why do we do that? I mean, you know, isn't God smart enough to do it himself? Isn't God smarter than us? Isn't God better than us? Isn't God more able than us to do these things? I mean, why in the world do we have to do that? Why don't he let the angels do it? Why doesn't he let the preachers do it? Or just get some people, particular people, and just use them. Why in the world do I have to get involved with this thing? Well, I want you to look at it, if you will, and let's notice some things that the Bible says. In chapter number 1 of the book of Acts, now most of us know the idea behind this. I mean, we've been through it already once we studied Acts. But in verse number 1, if you will, it says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." Okay, so remember this part. Jesus gave commandments to the apostles that he had chosen. And after his death, he resurrects, and he is there with them for 40 days. If you'll remember, he's there with them. And it says he's there until the day that he was taken up. Through the Holy Ghost, he had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now this is what Jesus is doing after that he's resurrected. He's come back and he's with his disciples. And as he's with them, he's teaching them some things. He hadn't just, you know, quit and said, "Okay, boys, y'all just, you know, do the best you can." And he's trying to further their apostle education, if you will, the disciple education that he's been giving them. And it said, verse number 4, "Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you've heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." They did not have the Holy Spirit at that very time. But he said, "You wait, that's coming." "When they were therefore, when they come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" Now their sightedness is kind of like our sightedness sometimes. We just want this thing get over with, and let's just get on to the good times. You be Lord, and just, you know, take care of everything, and hallelujah, we'll be right in there. Well, the Bible says here that they asked him, "You're going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and of the uttermost parts of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for this evening. Thank you again for the word of God. Thank you again for the instruction and the wisdom that we can gain through the Scriptures. And Lord, I'm praying tonight, you just speak to all of our hearts. Help us to be your servants. Help us to be your witnesses. Help us to be your voice. Help us to be your people. And again, we'll just give you thanks and praise and honor and glory. Just develop a heart in us that wants to see somebody else come, go to heaven with us. And again, we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So again, we're thinking on this thought, why do we want to carry, or why should we carry this message? Well, let me say this first of all. One reason is because of what we do not know. There's a lot of things we don't know. Now, I think we try to act like we know, and sometimes we try to act like we're smarter than everybody else out there as far as, you know, being a Baptist or being a church person or, you know, whatever you want to call yourself. And you're thinking, but let me just tell you, Jesus told them some things here. First of all, we don't know when he's coming. We don't know. Now, what I'm talking about, you know, you say, well, why do I need to witness? Because there's a lot of stuff you don't know about. There's a lot of stuff. These guys right here were the closest to the Lord. They had walked with him. They had eaten with him. They had prayed with him. They had been around and seen all the things that he had done. And guess what? They still didn't understand a whole lot of stuff. They began to ask him. They said, Lord, you're going to do this time. I mean, they'd listened to enough to know what they knew, and sometimes that motivates us into thinking some things that we think we know more than we do, okay? And they said, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? This thing all over with now? And he looks at them and he said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put into his power. This is, you don't know. We don't know. And we're not going to know. We're not supposed to know when he's coming. Can I tell you that it's, as far as a date, as far as a time, as far as an exactness in this, it's not an absolute necessity. You don't need to know. I don't need to know. Guess what? The Bible says God has that in his own power, and nobody knows. So when you start seeing people that said, oh, you know, y'all remember if you're old enough, there was a guy wrote a book, said 88 Reasons Why Jesus Is Coming in 1988. Woo, boy, was he wrong. I mean, he missed that, didn't he, by a long shot. I'm telling you, that's 36 years ago, and he's still wrong. Amen? He ain't got it. And I don't think he could say 2088. But, you know, there's no way you can set a date on this thing. You and I just don't know. There's just so many things. And you know what that means? Tell somebody about him while you still got time, because you don't know when he's coming. I don't know when he's coming. I have no idea when Jesus is coming. We don't know that, do we? Well, let's look at the second thing. We don't know when anybody's going to be going. We have no idea how long anybody on the face of this earth has to last. I mean, there's no way that I can go through this crowd and say, now you're going to live to be, you know, 78 years old, and you're going to make it to 104, and you're going to make it to just barely over 50. I mean, we don't know. We have no idea. If you go out into the graveyard somewhere, I challenge you to find me one where everybody is 90 and 100 years old. You won't find it. You'll find grave markers of all sizes because we don't know when anybody is going to leave this world. We have no idea of those things. There's nothing to give them to us. We don't know when somebody is going to be leaving. I mean, Jesus said, it's not given to you. You don't know the times, you don't know the seasons, but God's got all of that in his own power. We have no idea. Hey, and you know, you've heard it said before. A lot of folks will say, well, hey, I heard that preacher this morning say, man, you might not make it to work this morning. You might not make it to the parking lot. You don't know. None of us know. I think back sometimes on that memorial that we do of the September 11 on, you know, 9/11 2001, and that day, you know, there was like nearly 3,000 folks that got up and went to work, and they thought it was just another ordinary day. And if you're old enough, you can remember that. I don't know, we probably got some folks here sitting here today. You might have been in school. You know what they were doing in the schools? They turned the TVs on and said, you know, hey, we got to watch this. And they had all the classroom. I remember I was working at Walmart. Worked at Walmart in the pharmacy. And if you've ever been in a Walmart, and somebody say amen, because you've all been in a Walmart, right? Well, at that time, they had those televisions posted throughout, and they'd have little blurbs and things on it, you know, about advertising or whatever. All of a sudden, every TV in there got turned to a channel, and the same channel, and they sent a message out and said, everybody watch the TV monitors. And we were there working, and all of a sudden, we looked out, and you could see where they were replaying on there, and the towers were falling. And it was like, wow, what in the world is going on? And then, if you remember a little bit later, the second tower fell. And we're sitting there with our mouths. I mean, we wasn't doing any work that day. And I'm sure a lot of you, wherever you were, it was an unusual sight. Can I tell you, they begin to say there's casualties. And you see planes hitting buildings, and buildings begin to crumble, and the dust fly, and the emergency people all around and everything. You knew something bad had happened. And as I say, somewhere close to the vicinity of 3,000. Died that day. Man, you know what? They all got up and went to work. Never thought another thing about, this is my last day on it. Never thought of it. Oh, listen, you just don't know, do you? You just do not know when it might be the day that the Lord's going to call for you or one of your loved ones. You don't know. Nobody knows that day. But can I tell you, the Lord in heaven knows, and I'll just tell you this. Let's look at this, and I'll tell you that there is something that we do know. We do know that one of these two things is going to happen. I mean, well, really, both of them. He's coming again, and everybody's getting out of here someday or another. We know that. The Bible says it is appointed unto a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. That's in the book of Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 27. If you need to jot it down and look it up, that is an absolute. You've got an appointment. I've got an appointment. Everybody in this room's got an appointment. You know, I began to think about it, and I think Brother Ronnie maybe or somebody was talking about this the other day, about how that in our high school reunions and high school graduations, as many are going on right now, it seems like after either before you graduate or after you graduate, you begin to get those reports about one of your schoolmates has passed away. And if you've watched the news here recently, wasn't just maybe a couple, 3 weeks ago, whatever it's been now, that there was two high school seniors that got killed by a drunk driver on a county maybe north of us here above Chattanooga. And two precious teenagers that should have been graduating high school were taken out. You think they expected that? Do you think their high school classmates, you think their parents expected that? Nobody expected that. But can I tell you, it's going to happen. One way or another, one day at some time, hey, Jesus is coming back, or you're going to leave this place. And whoever you're talking to, whoever you're around, whoever you're with, isn't it amazing? You ever go into the workplace sometimes, and I've seen it, you know, a lot of times, we have people, used to when I worked in a pharmacy, they would come in, and the next thing you know, we'd hear a report, and they'd say, hey, did you hear so-and-so passed away? Well, they were just in here yesterday. We just talked to them. I mean, what happened? Kind of scary and unsettling, isn't it? But you know what? It happens. It happens. And I'm just telling you, friend, hey, there's some reasons why we should be carrying this message. There are some reasons on why we should have to know, and why we should get ourselves prepared to give out the gospel. You know, I gave you this little version of the Romans Road last week, a little thing for us to study. Well, I got something else a little more compact for us now. I've got it in this kind of a version, which is just a bookmark size. But it's got those verses on the back of it, got the church name on the front of it, and you know what? It's pretty easy just to hand these out to somebody and say, hey, can I just tell you a little bit about, you know, Jesus, and can I give you this? Can I invite you to church? Can I tell you that we'd love to have you come, and you'll just hear some old-fashioned singing and preaching, but I sure would be interested in you coming and visiting with us at our church. Amen? Why? Well, Because of these very things right here, there's some things we do not know. And that's one reason why you and I need to get out and carry this message from what we don't know. And second of all, hey, listen, this is something that we should be doing because we do know that it's what the Bible commands us to do. Do you know that the Bible tells me and you to be ready to tell somebody about Jesus? If you're saved, if you're a Christian, if you have this hope in you, you should be ready to tell somebody about your life and your witness in Christ. I mean, listen, look at this. First subpoint here. This is not a spiritual gift. There's a lot of folks say, oh, well, preacher, I believe some people have got the gift of winning folks to the Lord. Well, I'll say this. Some folks may be better. Some folks may be more comfortable. Some folks may be more talkative. Some folks may be more people-oriented. I don't know how you want to describe it. There are people that are more so than others. But I want you to know, this is not a spiritual gift. There are a lot of things that the Bible tells us there are spiritual gifts. I mean, there are spiritually gifted people that can teach and preach. There are spiritually gifted people that can sing. There are spiritually gifted people that can serve. There are spiritually gifted people that can do a lot of other functions for the church. But one of those spiritual gifts is not being a witness for Jesus. It's not a spiritual gift. It is something that the Father has told us to do. Do you see what Jesus does here in Acts chapter number 1? He says that to them, he's saying to his disciples, verse number 7, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Listen, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, who did he say? Now, Peter, you and Andrew and John, nope. He just said, ye. And there's at least the 12 apostles standing there, and they're hearing that. And you know what happens when they gather, as you look over in chapter number 2 in the book of Acts, it says there was a group there in verse number 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon who? Each of them. Everybody got what anybody got. What I'm saying is the Holy Spirit came to every one of them in a like manner. And then what did they do? Well, the Bible said they were filled with the Holy Ghost, verse number 4. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, does that say that was Peter and John? No. They. That's the same they that were. You know, there was a group there. We don't know everybody's name in the group, but there was a group of them. I'm telling you tonight, every one of us in this building can be a witness for Christ. There are ways to do that. There is a need to do that. As I said, it's not a spiritual gift. Second of all, let's say this. It's not a church growth program. Is it not? Oh, okay. I'm going to be part of the church growth program team. No, you're not. You're going to be a witness for Jesus. I mean, that's what you're going to be. Now, it should lead to that point. It should help. But you know what? You can go out there and talk to somebody, and they get saved and say, boy, I'm going to live for the Lord. You know what? They might not come to Old Bethel Baptist Church. I know that's a shock. They might go to another church. But guess what? Shout and praise God and have a fit for them anyway. Amen? Because if the Lord can save them and use them somewhere, wherever he sends them directly, hey, thank God for that. Amen. I've seen that happen before, and you probably have too. So I'm just telling you. But look, this is not a church. You know, there's a lot of folks, and I'll be honest with you, get a lot of them. I get a lot of them as far as online, emails, messages, you know, all that kind of stuff. You build your church. And you can do that. We can get together, and we can go out here and build our church. But when you got through, what you got? You might have a church full of whatever. But hey, we want people that have been saved by the grace of God. Amen? I mean, not that I'm saying turn everybody away. No. But I'm saying we want to make sure that what we're doing is not just a church growth thing. We're trying to do something to develop the spiritual growth and the spiritual birth of people for the Lord. So what are we talking about? Well, as I said, this boils down to being a command from the Lord. Look at verse number 8 here and see what the Lord tells them. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, that's Chickamauga, Judea, that's Walker County, Samaria, I can't tell you where that is, that's a rough part of town, and the uttermost parts of the earth, that's everywhere else. But that's what I'm saying. You can go anywhere and be a witness for the Lord. Amen. I mean, I don't know how the disciples at that point reacted when he said Samaria. They're like, we don't like them. We don't matter whether you like them or not. Go on, tell them about Jesus. Amen. I mean, they need Christ just as much as anybody else does. I mean, if you think you've got to go on the other side of the tracks, or if you've got to go to the bad part of town, or you've got to go to the place where I don't go there, well, hey, I'm telling you, go there sometimes. Amen. It will open your eyes, and God will help you through that. I've probably told y'all this story maybe several times before, but when I was just a young Christian, went out on visitation with our pastor at that time. Brother Larry Underwood was our pastor. And I went out with him, and just me and him, we'd split up, went out two at a two, and, you know, there was other people going. Where we got in the car, and I said, where are we going, Brother Larry? He said, we're going to Rossville Boulevard. And I said, what are we going to Rossville Boulevard for? He said, we're going to the liquor store. And I said, what? He said, we got to go up here and see a lady. She needs some help. I'm like going up through there, going down Roswell Boulevard. I'm trying to hide. Well, I'm in his car, so, you know, whoo, at least there's that much. They don't know it's me. So we pull into this bar or liquor store place. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. He said, well, come on, let's go. And I'm like, okay. I get out of the car and I walk around and I'm looking, you know, at everybody and everything. Walk in. And I mean, I'm probably, I don't know, 18, 19 years old, whatever. And I've never done anything like this. I mean, I've never been around anything. That wasn't a place I inhabited or visited or nothing else. I, you know, just real uncomfortable with. So I went in. And I'm just standing there next to him like I don't know nothing about nothing, and I'm afraid to look at people and what all's going on and all that. And he finds this lady, and he begins to talk to her. And she, I think she probably needed some kind of financial help. She had children, and there was, just a single mom. And she whatever it was, he was dealing with that. I was just dealing with the jitters and the looks is all I was dealing with. Amen. And it made me very uncomfortable. And can I tell you, sometimes when you go places and see people and get ready to talk, it may make you uncomfortable. And I want to tell you something. You probably will never in your life get over some of that uncomfortable feeling. And you know what? It's okay because you know the Lord is there with you. And you and I just have to pray for grace and boldness in times like that, that we can do what we got to do. Amen? We got to do what we got to do. I mean, this is what God is telling me and you to do. You go and be a witness in some places. Sometimes you don't think, well, I don't need to be there. I mean, I don't know. And I can remember one time, Brother Jenkins, we're talking about him and Sister Jenkins sitting at the house, and she come in there and told him, she said, Harold, I think I need to go talk to, you know, so-and-so, somebody that they knew and maybe had visited their church or something. And she said, I just feel like God wants me to go talk to this particular person. Brother Hal said, I turned around and looked at her and said, well, go ahead then. And she's like, well, are you not going to go with me? And he said, the Lord didn't tell me to go. He told you to go. And, you know, sometimes we get there, don't we? Like, he told you, he didn't tell me nothing, amen. I'm just here in the, but you know what you can do sometimes, and I do believe it's a good a good thing. Jesus sent his disciples out two by two by two. It's a good thing to have somebody with you. Just sometimes just for the mere fact of safety. Amen. I remember I've been places. Brother Larry's not here, Brother Larry Dotson. I've been drive up with him. And we go wherever we're going. We get in the car. We're sitting there. And he'll say, I wonder if they got a dog. And I look at him and say, I don't know. You get out and check. Well, let's just sit here a minute and see what happens. But, you know, sometimes there are things like that that kind of put, but you still got to go. You still got to knock on that door. I had a guy out there on Sand Mountain. He cussed and rared and carried on with me and one of our deacons there. And he said, I don't want to hear what y'all got to say. I know where you're from. I know what you do. And I don't want it and I don't need it and I don't want to see you again. Well, hallelujah there. God bless you, sir. Thank you for your time. And we'll be, and you know, you get that kind of response sometimes too. But he still said, go. You know what Jesus told his disciples? If they don't want you, shake the dust off your feet and go on to the next place. I mean, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're trying. And can I tell you what? Sometimes God's digging them a hole all the while. He's working on them, and they may not look like it on the outside, but sometimes God's digging a hole in their heart. He's speaking to their soul. He's getting down on the inside of them, and they're getting ready to make some kind of decision. Amen. They're getting ready, and they're going to have to do something, or God will continue to deal and then cut that out. I mean, I don't know, and I don't understand that, but I'm just telling you, our part is to go and let God do what he does. Amen. What he does. So, yeah, look here, look on further, if you will, in Acts chapter number 22. Acts chapter number 22. Paul is giving his testimony, and he's talking about the things that happened to him. In Acts chapter number 22, look down with me, down at verse number 12. And Paul said, and one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him, and he said, The Lord, or the God of our fathers, hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. God told Ananias, he said, I got a man and he's going to be my witness, my special witness in a situation that he don't understand, that he don't think, that he don't know. But I'm telling you, friend, aren't you glad God can do the same thing with me and you? He can do the same thing for me and you. Look over in the book of 1 Peter, if you will. Flip all the way over there in the back of your Bible, 1 Peter chapter number 3. And notice what Peter says. Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter number 3. Look down at verse number 14. He said, But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I mean, you just got to be ready to give that testimony, because, brother, it's what the Lord asks us. He not just asks, he commands us to do these things. Jesus said, go and tell. Go and tell. Amen. And that's exactly what we're supposed to do with this old wicked world. It is the command of God. Amen. It's the command of God. All right. Let's look at a third thing, if you will. Maybe spend a few minutes on this, on what good can my witness bring? What good can my witness bring? You know, that's probably a real common question for most of us. Well, who's going to listen to me? What, I mean, I'm nobody. I'm not, nobody knows me. Nobody knows anything about me. Nobody knows very much about who I am and what I do. And I'm just a nobody in a lot of people's eyes. And that's the way that we look at ourselves many times. What can my testimony be? Do you remember the character in the Old Testament by the name of Gideon? And God went to him and he sent an angel and he told him he was over hiding in a place threshing out wheat because the Philistines had been coming in, taking everybody's food and taking everybody's stuff and getting rid of everything that the Jewish people had, and they were taking all that. And he's out hiding somewhere in a secluded area, and he's threshing out wheat trying to feed his family. And an angel of the Lord comes to him and begins to speak to him and tells him to arise, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon starts looking around. Who are you talking to? And Gideon's family was poor in Israel. And according to what he said, he was the poorest of his poor family. He said, I think you got the wrong fella, is what he's saying in so many words. You don't know who you're talking to. And he said, oh yeah, God said you're a mighty man of valor. And old Gideon's like, it ain't me. Surely it's not me. Can I tell you? You remember, you think about this. When you look through the Bible, do you know that when God called and anointed David, you know what David did after that? He went back to tending sheep. Because he's just a little kid. You remember when God called Moses to be the leader of Israel out of Egypt? He was on the backside of a desert somewhere trying to get rid of his past and everything else that had happened to him. Amen? You remember when God called Jacob, what he was doing? He was wrestling and worrying about what was going to happen between him and his brother. And God said, you're a prince with Israel. And he's looking around like, you're talking to me? And let me just tell you, that's the way a lot of us feel a lot of times. We don't know. We look at our past. We look at our history. We look at where where we were and what we've done and how that we're just nobody. But God says, I can use you. Amen? God wants to use you. God wants to use every one of us in this room. Everybody in this room. Amen? Oh, buddy, let me tell you. You're going to go out and win a million, right? Well, don't necessarily set your goal that high, but you can and try and win somebody for God. I mean, that's it. What good can my witness bring? What good is my testimony? Why should I give a testimony? Why should I try to tell somebody about the old Roman roads and how they can get saved? Why should I try to leave a tract with somebody? Why should I try to do that? Well, let's look at a few things. First of all, when you become a witness and a testimony for God, it will demonstrate God's power. It'll demonstrate God's power. You remember the story again in the book of Acts in chapter number 27. Here's Paul, and he's a prisoner in the middle of a storm with a bunch of other prisoners on a boat that's carrying a load of wheat over somewhere, and all of a sudden they get stuck out in the middle of the water and there's in a storm, and you know, what are we going to do? And all of a sudden a man by the name of Paul steps forward during all that's going on, and he says this, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. He said, for an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood by me this night and told me that there'd be no harm happen to any man on this ship. He said, now we're going to lose the ship, but nobody's going to die. He said, wherefore, sirs, I believe God. I mean, he just gave a good testimony of the Lord. Said, let me tell you, I believe God. And he said, I tell you what, y'all need to cheer up. You hadn't ate for 2 weeks. Let's have some food. And you know what the Bible said? They believed Paul. They began to get some food. They began to cheer up. And you know what happened? Hey, God proved exactly what he had told Paul, and they all came to shore, and they were all saved, and hallelujah. What'd that do? That witness from Paul did this. It demonstrated God's great power. Demonstrate the God's power. I mean, them folks, they might have said, well, he's just that old preacher, and what does he know? And he just blabbers and talks all the time. You know, what does that mean? Well, let's see some good out there. Well, here it is. If you remember, and it's probably almost seems like this is a bad example, but Jonah is running away from God, trying to keep from preaching the word of God. And while he's on the ship, they get into a storm. And Jonah, after everybody, they draw straws, right? And Jonah gets the short straw. And they look at him and say, "You're the problem, dude. What's going on?" I'm running from God because I don't want to preach to a bunch of heathens. Amen? I mean, that's really what he said. I don't like them. I hope they all do die. And I don't want to go down there and preach to them because they might get saved. Wow, that's exciting. But anyway, he tells them, you know, God's done all this because of him. And they say, he says, "I tell you what'll cure it. Throw me over the ship. Let God deal with me and y'all be okay." And you know what? They tried to talk to him. They tried to figure it out. They tried to do something. Nothing else was working. So they threw him over. And God dealt with him, had that fish prepared, and all that took care. But if you go back and look at the end of that chapter, those men began to worship the Lord because there was a testimony. Even a bad dude and a knucklehead and everything else that Jonah was, it demonstrated God's power. So what I'm saying is when you give a testimony, you don't have to be the biggest. You don't have to be the most well-spoken. You don't have to be the most theologically minded. You don't have to have the greatest vocabulary. If you can just tell them, it'll demonstrate God's power. You remember what happened to Peter and John? They're standing there before the great Sanhedrin religious court in Jerusalem in Acts chapter number 4. And they say, "How did this man that laid at that gate every day and has been crippled all the way, how did he get up and walk?" Peter said, "I'll tell you how. At the name of Jesus." And boy, that flipped her wig, didn't it? I mean, they said, "We don't want to hear about that." But Peter told him, he said, "There's no other name given among men under heaven whereby you must be saved but at the name of Jesus." You know what they did? It says they when they called a little sidebar and they got together and they said, "What are we going to do?" "Well, I think we ought to, you know, tell them and whoop them and carry on with them and all." Okay. But it says in there that everybody knew that it was a miracle of God. Their witness was demonstrating the power of God. Can I tell you? Hey, that's what it's all about, right? What your testimony does, for one thing, it demonstrates the power of God. How does it demonstrate that, preacher? Well, you tell people and say, "Look, I mean, you can tell them if you have to and say, 'I used to be, and God saved me from that. And he's changed my life. And now I just want to live for him.'" Amen? Or you can just tell them and say, "Look, I'm just an old sinner like anybody else, and God saved me. And he's blessed me, and he lives in my heart, and he works in my life, and he gives me a provision every day, and I just bless his holy name for what he's done." You can make sure that it demonstrates the power of God. It's a demonstration of God's power. But not only that, look at this. It perpetuates God's truth. Now, what I mean by that, it is something that speaks to those that are coming along behind us as it has for those that have came before us. You ever sit and think about, and we do sometimes, don't we? We sit and talk about them old-timers, right? "I remember when they used to," you know, all that kind of thing. And, buddy, I can tell you, I can remember some people and some times and some church services from my youth. And I'm telling you, as a young boy, I'm just, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old, it scared me to death to be around some of them old saints of God. It'd start shouting. It'd start praising God. And I'd look at them and I'd think, "Well, what in the world are they so all fired up? They don't have nothing. They ain't nothing. They ain't nobody. They're just, you know what. But, buddy, they just wanted to just praise God because of who he was and what he'd done in their lives." And you know what that did? That sent that down to me. That brought that forward to another generation. And I'll tell you, we need that desperately today in our day, because I'm telling you, folks are not getting the perpetuation about God's truth. We need to tell somebody else about Jesus, because Jesus did everything for us. Jesus saved us. Jesus keeps us. Jesus takes care of us every day. Jesus is everything and ought to be everything to every one of us. And you need to perpetuate that truth. You need to tell your kids. I don't care. You say, "Well, my kids are just little." Just tell them, bow those little heads and let's pray. Let's ask God. Why, Mommy? Why should we ask God? Because what we get comes from God. Let's ask God. Let's praise God. Let's worship God. Let's just go to church for God. Amen. Amen. Perpetuate that. When you have a witness, when you use the name of Jesus in the right way, when you use the name of the Lord in the right way, when you and I magnify, hey, we're perpetuating the truth that lived before us, now lives with us, and we're wanting to perpetuate it beyond us. Amen? Listen to what Paul tells Timothy over here in 2 Timothy. He's talking to that young preacher. He's telling him, you know, again, what he ought to do and how he ought to do for the church and what ought to be done in it. Let's see if I can get there. Timothy, where are you at? 2 Timothy, if you will, in chapter number 2, Paul is writing to him. In verse number 1, he said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and those things which thou hast heard of me, among many witnesses, the same, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Do you see that? You got it from me. I got it to you. You got it to this one. Tell them to get it to somebody else. Perpetuate the truth of God. You go back in the Old Testament, and the Lord told told Moses to tell his people. He said, "You tell the people to take my words and write them upon their doorposts, to put them upon their gates." You know why? So that they could teach their children about the Lord. Do you know that's what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to keep this thing going. Your witness should go to your children. I mean, your kids will look at you and they'll say, "I don't understand." And, you know, when they're little and when they're younger, they don't get it, but they're looking at you. Mom and Daddy's praying, and we know that praying's good and praying works, and praying's what we ought to all learn how to do. We ought to learn that mamas and daddies say that Jesus is good and he helps us and he blesses us. Hey, we ought to think that too. Amen? Can I tell you, that's the way this thing ought to work. That's the way this thing ought to work. Do you remember, and we've talked about this a lot of times, talk about Psalm 119. You know what Psalm 119 is? Psalm 119 is an acrostic poem. What I mean by that is there are eight verses in a section of 22, which gives you the entirety of the Hebrew alphabet. And if we could read that in the Hebrew, every verse in that first grouping starts with the letter, the Greek word Aleph, and you go through Beth and so on and so forth, Gimel and so forth, through all the whole Hebrew alphabet in each one. It was to teach the children the alphabet, for one thing, but for another thing, it taught them the Word of God. What do you think? Listen, y'all, anybody paid any attention to what's going on in schoolhouses today? I mean, y'all seen anything goes on in schoolhouses? The schoolhouse is crazy compared to when we were kids, right? And I know, well, you're an old fogey, blah, 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 and all that. Yeah, right, okay, whatever. But can I tell you, you know what we used to do? Get up first thing in the morning at school. We'd pledge allegiance to the flag. And our little old dumb teachers would say, "Bow your heads, we're going to pray." And many times they'd say, "Y'all pray with us," and we would recite that prayer that's called the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." We'd repeat that prayer in the morning. Why? Because you need to hear the Word of God. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Your kids still need to hear that. They need to see. You know, there's somebody was talking about that on one of these family shows, and they said somebody had written a letter in, and they said, "Well, we try to have family devotion times." And, you know, everybody's probably done it when your kids is little. And you know what my kids would do? "He's touching me. He's hitting me. He's slapping me." They're going to do that while you're trying to pray, while you're trying to read the Bible, while you're trying to do whatever you're trying to do. They're going to do that. You know why? Because they're kids. But I want you to know, they're soaking it in. They're sucking it up. They're getting it on the inside of them. You may not understand. You may get frustrated, aggravated, upset every time you turn around. But I'm telling you, just keep it up. Because because you are perpetuating God's truth to them. That's why we need to be a witness. We need to tell. You know, it's amazing to me. I mean, honestly, I have seen some people. I've seen people go out on the streets and do interviews, and they say, "I'll give you." There's some guy goes around here. Says, "I'll give you $100 if you can quote me a Bible verse." And people will look at him and like, I don't know any. And I'm like, wow. And then they say sometimes, let me tell you about this character from the Bible and you tell me, you know, whatever this is about. I mean, they could even say something, Jonah. I don't know anything about Jonah. And you're like, man. I've seen them say, can you name the first five books of the Bible? Genesis. And then they're lost. Isn't that amazing how biblically ignorant we've gotten in just a short period of time? Amen? I mean, I know. I've been here, you know, for 30 years. And I've sang the little old kid songs for 30 years. Amen? I mean, we sang them. But you know what they do? They perpetuate the truth of God and His Word to these little kids. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. I mean, you know, we all know that one. I got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. You'd say, well, that's silly. Yeah, but those little kids love it and they need to hear it. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Savior he wanted to see. Amen? I mean, keep it up. Amen. Perpetuate the truths that are found in God's Word. I mean, it demonstrates. When you and I have a witness, whatever your witness is, however the witness comes, it can demonstrate God's power. It will perpetuate God's truth. And then look at one more thing with me here. Here's what else it does for us. It stimulates God's saints. Do you know what? When you see somebody else and they begin to testify and you hear about what God's doing in their life and maybe what God's doing in somebody else's life because they told them about God, hey, you know what it does? It'll do something for you. It'll do something for you and it'll do something for somebody else. I'll guarantee you that. Look over, if you will, again. I'm going to look over in Thessalonians chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And Paul is commending this church at Thessalonica. And listen to what he says. Verse number 5, he said, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. He said, we came and brought you the word. He said, but it also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost. So that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. What Paul is saying is this. Y'all got stirred up down there. When y'all got saved, it did something to you. And when more of you got saved, it done so much. And y'all got to telling everybody about Jesus. He said, you know what? I'd go in some of these places and I'd say, I want to tell you something strange, something unusual. I want to tell you about Jesus. Oh, we've already heard about that. Well, what'd you hear about that? And them people over at Thessalonica, they're a bunch of war Indian hallelujah hoopers over here. They've already told us. Amen? Why? Because they got excited. They got exuberant. They got beside themselves because, hey, they had a testimony. Amen. They had a witness of the Lord. Amen? I mean, I just think we ought to get like that. I think you ought to get excited. I can remember one night we went to Northgate Mall. You ever been to Northgate? Amen. Well, we was up there, and Mom and Daddy loved to go to Northgate. Daddy wanted to go because the Piccadilly was there. Amen. We go to the Piccadilly, and then the ladies want to go shopping. Well, Daddy said, I'm just going to sit out here on a bench for a while, and I'm walking around with the kids, and the ladies are shopping, and whatever's going on. I come back, And Pawpaw was about to have a shouting fit out there in the middle of Northgate. He's found somebody, and he's a preaching to them, and they're a laughing and a clapping and having a good old time. And he's like, oh, no, something got him plugged in right now, whatever it is. He's hooked up with God. And I'm just telling you, that's just the way it was. And, you know, this guy would come talk to us, and he said, I just love to hear what your daddy's got to say. I said, well, why? He said, because he just really believes it. He said, you can tell. He's excited about what God's done for him. Can I tell you, it ought to stimulate, it ought to bring a stimulation to the saints of God from your witness. It ought to help you, and it will help somebody else. You tell them. You can get excited about it. Now, you don't have to run, shout, hoop, holler, and squall, and do all them things. But I'll tell you, when you really get excited about what God's done for you, somebody else will notice it too. And it will help you, and it'll help them too. It will help them. So that's why what good your witness can do, it can tell somebody else. It preserves and perpetuates the truth of God. It stimulates the saints and their thinking. And, you know, it is a real demonstration of the power of God. A real demonstration of it. When somebody, you ever seen somebody? And you just look at them and you know, and I can remember when I moved up here from Atlanta, our pastor down there came with us and we went to a church and visited. And we sat down and he looked up at the pulpit and saw the pastor. He never met him before, never seen. He looked at him and said, that is a real man of God. I said, you are correct. I mean, you can just tell sometimes by the way they're standing, by the way they look. And we were visiting Brother Berman Cape's church, and Brother Berman was over. He said, I don't know that guy. He said, but that's God's man. I said, you're right on it. I do know him, and he is. Amen. I mean, they just sometimes you just, God just lets you glow. He just lets you beam out some things in your life. And I'm not bragging on people and all that. I'm just bragging on God. I'm telling you, the Lord wants me and you to be his witness. Jesus said, go and tell. And sometimes, can I tell you this? It's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. Come here, brother. Come here. It's pretty simple. I'm out walking down the street, and I see Alan. I say, hey, sir, can I talk to you a minute? My name's Steve Camp, and I go down to Old Bethel Baptist Church, and we're just inviting folks to come to church. And I want you to have this. And if you will take time to read it, and you can read the back of it here. And I don't know if you're saved or not. You may be. You may go to church. But I just want to invite you to come be with us. Amen?
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, that's it. And you know what? It's that simple. It's that simple. Now, he needs to get saved. I can tell by looking at him. You got them beady eyes. No, I'm kidding. Back in that corner, right? But, I mean, that's how simple that it is. And guess what? Me and Lynn went somewhere to eat the other day. And we saw a couple. We both knew them. And as they were going, they come by our table and talked to us for a few minutes. And we knew them, knew what church we went to. And I got out to my car, and there was a track my door. And I know he put it down. I don't know that he knew that was my car. He might have. I don't know. But I believe he just went through the parking lot and just hit whoever he could as he went to his car. Simple. That's testimony. That's witness. That's doing something to demonstrate God's power, doing something that will perpetuate the truth and stimulate the saints. Amen? I mean, you can do that. You can take that little simple piece of paper right there and give it to somebody. You can lay it down on the table when you get through eating. Put a tip down for you. And put a tip down, okay? Put a pretty good one and flip that down and say, boom. You hadn't said a word, but you said multitudes right there. What I'm telling you, this is easy. This is not complicated. We can make it hard. We can make it like, oh, I don't fucking do it. You don't have to be, as I said, a Bible scholar. You don't have to be learned and educated and all of that stuff that we think sometimes. You just simply have to have a willing heart and say, Lord, just here I am, use me. Amen? Here I am. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing something tonight. We're going to...